We've been studying about giving all diligence in our service to the Lord for the last few Sunday mornings that we've been studying together. This has been a series we've been engaged in. We're continuing in today. As I look out among us, one great relief that I think not just I but all of us have with each other here. I remember growing up, the Sunday that would be around Christmas time or Easter Sunday, we would always have the largest attendance of the year. And there would be certain people that you wouldn't see any other time of year except for those two. But among us, that's a good thing that that's not the case. I don't see any twice a year folks in here this morning. That's not what we do, which is a good thing. And those particular occasions that the world, the denominational world has reserved as particular religious holidays, we know, scripturally speaking, well, the Lord doesn't tell us anything about the particular day of Christ's birth and anything about celebrating that in particular. And as far as the resurrection of Christ is concerned, that is the first day of the week in which he was raised from the dead, which is the day that we come together every week. So we really are commemorating the resurrection of Christ by coming together as his church on the day of his resurrection each and every first day of the week. So it's not just once a year that that is something that we think about or should. But in any event, we are continuing what we've been doing on the last several Sunday mornings and studying together about giving all diligence. The Lord requires that of us, as we've seen. Last week, we were looking at a particular aspect of diligence that the Lord requires of us, that is in faithfulness as a steward. We have to be faithful as stewards of God. He has entrusted us with much, and everything that we have is from him, and we have to be faithful as stewards of all that God has given to us. We will be judged by that. And as we noted, the Lord, we look particularly at the parable of the talents, where the Lord is teaching about diligence and faithfulness, and uses the words for both of that in teaching that. So faithfulness and diligence are two things that really are inseparable. And so this is one aspect of our study that we wanted to spend some time in. And that was looking at the necessity of being faithful as stewards. Now, this morning we want to turn to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24 as we begin. And we could have just chosen verse 23, but we want to read all three of these verses. We will recognize, even if you don't know, if you just heard that reference, Lamentations 3, 22 through 24, if that didn't ring any bells, you will certainly, when we read these words, we'll have a few aha moments in there where we say, oh, I recognize that. We sing that, and we've got several of our songs that we regularly sing that come from these verses. But he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. So as we mentioned, there are a lot of our songs that we sing from these three verses. One of the songs that we sing very frequently is Great is Thy Faithfulness. That's a quotation from verse 23. We praise God for his faithfulness, and his faithfulness is great. And we depend upon that. In the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1, and verse 9, he says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we find several statements in Old and New Testaments about God's faithfulness. He is faithfulness, and it is by him that we're called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, what hope of salvation eternal salvation could we have without that? And we see it is based in God's faithfulness. And we depend upon that. Our souls depend upon that. Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Now, what would happen to us if God were not faithful in that? If he did not put those limitations upon Satan where he could not tempt us above what we're able to bear, or and then provide a way of escape from us from every temptation, what if God didn't do that? Or what if God did that some of the time, but we couldn't rely upon him to be faithful all the time in that? What would happen? We know that every good and every perfect gift comes from him, from the Father of lights, James 1:17, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Does God change? Is he one way one moment, and then is he something else another moment? Is he a certain way almost all the moments, but then sometimes he's not? Or is there no variableness, no shadow of turning with him? Is he faithful all the time, such that we can stake our souls upon that? And of course we can, because he is faithful. He's faithful in all things, always. In the book of 2 Corinthians, we see this also emphasized. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. It says, "But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Well, we don't say yea and nay very often, but we say yes and no, which is what those words mean. With him is not yes and no. With his promises, he says, there is yes. It's his faithfulness. He keeps his promises. So it's not, well, he's going to, yes, keep his promise sometimes, but maybe no, sometimes he doesn't. There is no no when it comes to God and his faithfulness and keeping his promises. He's always going to do that. In him is yes, and says, and in him, amen, which means so be it. It will be so. It will be yes, and it will be so all the time with God, because he is faithful, and he's faithful in everything. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." So no matter what we do, God is always going to remain faithful. He cannot deny himself. He's not going to be saying one thing one time and another thing another time. And he's not going to be able to and will not deny himself. He's going to be steadfast and faithful all the time. We see that emphasized in scriptures over and over again. Well, that same faithfulness that is in God must be in us. And this is why the Lord teaches us always to be faithful, always to be prepared and ready. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, he says, "Not," and this is what all Christians should or should not be, he says, "not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Now that word slothful, and we've seen examples of that in scriptures in the Old Testament in this study and some in the New, but this particular word that's translated slothful there is the Greek word akneros, which literally means tardy. About the only time I ever heard tardy used when I was growing up was about school. If you were late for school or late for class, then you were counted tardy. I don't know that I ever heard the word used other than in that context, but I don't know if they still emphasize, if anybody cares about that anymore, but they did when I was coming up. You weren't supposed to be late to school, late for class. You were counted tardy if you were. Well, that's what tardy means, late. Well, this is what That's literally the meaning of this word when he says not slothful in business, which means not just talking about, that's not talking about business like out there in the world, some business venture. Although if we are giving our, if we have a, whatever our job is, our vocation is in the world, we're supposed to be, as he says, serving the Lord. So whatever it is that we're doing, we should be serving the Lord, and we need to be faithful in that. But literally says not tardy. So we're not supposed to be late in things. That's a big aspect of God's faithfulness also. He's faithful in everything. But let's turn to Genesis chapter 18 and notice something here in verses 9 through 14. This is when the Lord appeared to Abraham. And this was on the eve of the judgment and destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. God was going to spare Abraham's nephew Lot, but since his nephew was there in the city with his family, Abraham, his uncle, was one that loved Lot and cared for him very much. And God was going to inform Abraham as to what his plans were concerning that judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he also was at the same time foretelling how he was going to provide the son, Isaac, through Abraham and Sarah. So there's a lot in Genesis 18. But verses 9 through 14, he says, "They said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife?" Now this is when, this is the Lord, as he says, appearing to him in verse 1 in the plains of Mamre. And there are two others with him that appear to be, would seem to be angels, as two angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah in the very next chapter, and that says that in chapter 19, verse 1. So we hear, we really have here what would fit the description, two angels with the Lord. So very interesting, but in verse 9, they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "Am I waxed old? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Now, as the Lord's describing that, he said in verse 10 that he would certainly return to Abraham and Sarah according to the time of life. And then he says it again there after Sarah laughed, that he, at the time appointed, he would return unto him according to the time of life, and Sarah would have a son. So God had made a promise there that was not just a promise in fact of Abraham and Sarah having a son, but there was also a promise concerning the timing of it. And the Lord was going to fulfill exactly what he said, exactly according to the time. And God does many times made such promises that were contingent upon time. And whenever the Lord says something about time, that he's going to do something at a certain time, what happens? Well, we also see his faithfulness on display with that. The Lord is always faithful in regard to time with his promises. We see another example, Exodus chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. Exodus 9, verses 5 and 6. It says, "And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one." And so when he was speaking to Pharaoh through Moses and Aaron, the Lord said that he had appointed a set time, and he was going to do the very next day according to whatever he said. Now, what would that have demonstrated to Pharaoh if God hadn't said what he done what he said at the time that he said he was going to do it? Was it important not only that he do what the particular deed was, but according to the time also that he promised. God said, here's the appointed time. It will be done at that time. And it was, as God always is faithful in that as well as all things. Now, people are not, unfortunately, but this is why we're studying this, because we need to be. But we can see an example of what happens with a lot of people. In 2 Samuel chapter 20, we have Amasa. This was a cousin of David's, whom he had selected in the position of captain of the host in Joab's stead for a time, until he got murdered by Joab. But in 2 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, it says, there happened to be there a man of Belial whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite, and he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. So here was a rebellion, and this needed to be dealt with, and needed to be dealt with in a very prompt, timely manner. So then verses 4 through 6, it says, then said the king, this is David, to Amasa, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, now shall Sheba the son of Bichri do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us. So there was a threat to David and his kingdom. And David was very particular about the time in which this was to be handled. And he set the man over that do something very particular within that time frame. But what happened? He didn't do it on time. He didn't do it when David said. He hadn't prepared himself, and he was late. And so then David had to get Abishai to do what he needed to be done during that time. So he was failed by Amasa, who was not faithful according to what David's instructions were according to the time frame. So sometimes we might be faithful in doing what needs to be done, but if there is a time component to it, it is also important, as God is not only faithful in doing what he says he will do, but he's faithful in doing it when he says he will do it. And if we have something that needs to be done in a certain time, well, we need to be faithful like God. That's a part of giving all diligence, that we be faithful in that also. Now, we all have our habits. And by the way, this is, I don't know if anybody, I wasn't paying attention to any particular individuals here, so I don't know if anybody came in late this morning or not. I did not design this particular part of our study to aim at a specific individual. So it just happened to land on this morning's time frame to study this particular point. So I'm not trying to single anybody out, but we all have our particular manners or habits of doing things, and some of us being faithful about time may be easier than others. And it's kind of interesting. We all sit in a certain place. We are creatures of habit, and it's not just us here. And this is true in every congregation. I mean, you can go in there, and everybody, they sit in their particular place. That's where they sit, and that's what we do. That's just the way people are. It's kind of interesting. We also, if you happen to be one, if you observe how we do things here, and I don't think it's different here than anywhere else either, but you can almost guarantee the exact order of the vehicles that are going to come into this parking lot, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. It's really interesting how that works, and it will not just be the same people, but it will be in the same relationship to whatever that set time is. And we follow those patterns of our habits. It's so interesting to see how we stick with that, and whether we're the one of the ones that's always first or whether we're one of the ones that is always last. We're pretty consistent about those things. Well, we all need to be faithful in our time. As the Lord said, not slothful in business, not tardy in what we're doing. So we need to be faithful in everything, including in regard to time. So we shouldn't be late for things. Now there are going to be times when we're hindered. Something can occur where we're not able to. That even happened with the Lord's angels. We can see an example of that in the book of Daniel, where there was a special circumstance that delayed an answer to Daniel for 21 days. And that was also pretty interesting. But some situation may arise where we are physically hindered from doing something that we should be doing or at a particular time. But we understand those exceptions. But there's a difference between an exception where we are actually hindered versus an excuse when we're really not hindered, but we have an excuse for why we are late. And we're very good about coming up with those too. So we need to be faithful. We need to be diligent in everything that we do and in serving the Lord. And that also means we need to be faithful about doing what we are supposed to do in the right time. And there are many different facets of our lives where we have things that we have to do on a particular schedule. And that can be very difficult and that can be very challenging to us. But these are things we need to understand that is good for us to do in following the Lord like he tells us to do. But it's not just in that. It's not just being faithful in time. It's in everything that we need to. We have some good examples of that in the scriptures. Let's look at some instructions that we have in Matthew chapter 24. This will parallel one of the passages that we read last week in Luke chapter 12. Last week we read Luke 12, 42 through 48. And when we get to the end of Matthew 24, we see a parallel passage here in regards to being prepared for the coming of the Lord and how we all need to be prepared. And so when we look at Matthew 24, starting in verse 36, he says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." That is the day or the hour when Jesus is going to return. Now, that's one thing where the Lord has very explicitly not tied a time frame to it. He knows, but he's not revealed that to any of us. We need to be prepared at all times for when our time on this earth is going to end, as we saw, like we mentioned last week in that passage, parallel passage in Luke 12. But he says in verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Well, as we saw in Luke 12, this also teaches us to be ready and to be ready when. And when should we be doing the Lord's will? To demonstrate that we're ready for when he comes? Well, we need to be so doing the Lord's will diligently and faithfully at all times, so that whenever our time comes to an end here on this earth, that's what we're doing. If that's what we're doing all the time, then we're preparing ourselves properly. Then he goes on to teach a parable in chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, the parable of the 10 virgins. He says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" So that is his teaching there about being prepared. The example that he uses of that is another one that demonstrates our need to be faithful in all things, faithful in regards to time, faithful in regards to all of the things that we're doing. And if we are faithful in all things, then we will be preparing ourselves. Now, what did he say they were doing while the bridegroom tarried? They slept. Well, they weren't ready when he came. Instead of sleeping, which is something else we also saw in our study, this study about being diligent, we can miss a lot when we're asleep. But if we're choosing sleep first all the time, then what are the chances are something's going to come up where we need to be doing something and we're not going to be prepared to do what we should do in faithfulness and in the right time because we've been too busy sleeping. There is a time for our rest, as we know, but the preparation needs to be done first. And these ones had not prepared themselves, so they took their nap, and then the time came and they weren't ready. And the Lord tells us we need to prepare ourselves and shows us that. And then, of course, he taught the parable of the talents after that, which we studied last week. Moses was a man who was faithful in all of his house. He tells us that in Hebrews chapter 3. So we have some good examples to follow that we're told about in Scripture. Ultimately, the Lord is the greatest example, as we know. But we have examples of other servants of his who were diligent and faithful in all things, following after the heart of the Lord in faithfulness. Moses, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." So there is where our diligence has to be demonstrated also. But Moses was mentioned as one who was faithful in all of his house. Well, we have to be also. Christ is, and then as his followers, we must be. And Timothy was one. He was a young man still, but Timothy in Philippians chapter 2 was faithful to a degree that Paul said there were no others that were like him. And so let's read Philippians chapter 2, 19 through 22. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel." When Paul really needed something done, and he needed something done that he could utterly rely upon, who did he choose? Well, he chose Timothy. He chose Timothy because he knew Timothy would do exactly what needed to be done. and he would have no concerns about whether he would carry that out. That's how we need to be. And this is an example that we don't have to, that's not something we need to wait around until we get older before we start doing. We need to be faithful and establish that even when we're young and continue it. But if we've not done so well at it up to now, we need to do what we can and be very diligent in the future. But we can see the mind of Timothy. He was seeking what was Jesus Christ in everything. And so therefore he was diligent and faithful in everything and would naturally care for their state or do whatever it was that needed to be done. Well, are we like that? If there's something that needs to be done and somebody turns to us, are they going to be thinking, oh, I got nobody else I can turn to, and who knows what kind of mess he's going to make or she's going to make with this, or not be confident that we're going to do what needs to be done? Are we like that? If somebody turns to us with any kind of a need, can they trust, I know that they're going to do this? If they are taking on this responsibility, this need is there, they're going to do it. They're going to do it well, and they're going to do it on time and very diligently and faithfully. Well, we need to be that kind of person. It's a requirement of our qualification of elders and deacons in the Lord's church. Just to keep that in mind, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, when he's particularly giving the qualifications for deacons and their wives, he says, even so must their wives be. Now, this is after he said in verse 8, likewise must the deacons be. So whatever he says concerning the deacons with that word likewise in verse 8, it ties to what has already been mentioned concerning the elders in the church. There's no qualification the deacons have that the elders would not. And their wives also are pointed out in verse 11, one of the qualifications, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. So this would apply to elders and their wives and deacons and their wives. What's the Lord's will for all of his servants then? Men and women alike, all of us, we all need to be faithful in what? He says faithful in all things. We need to be faithful and diligent in everything that we do so that we are fulfilling the Lord's will and pleasing him in all that we do as his servants, which is what he requires of us. This is another opportunity for you at this time right now. If you've not yet become a child of God, this is an opportunity for you to become a Christian, for you to become God's child by being baptized into Christ. We are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. He says in Galatians 3:26, and then verse 27 says, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we become a child of God and we become a Christian and put on Christ when we believe in him and are baptized into him, which is also how we obtain the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, and how we are added to his church, Acts 2 verses 41 and 47 and 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. So this is an opportunity for you right now to have that hope of eternal life, which only comes through being a follower of Christ. Won't you come forward at this time so you can be baptized into Christ and have that hope of eternal life? Or if you are a Christian, if you need to come forward now, if you've not been a diligent and faithful servant of his as you need to be, this is also an opportunity for you to make things right with him. So anyone that needs to come now, please come forward right now as we stand together and sing.